This is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, welcoming you back and tuning in with you to our Breaking Bread podcast. Mike Haynes, our Vice President for Government Affairs and Advocacy, is with me here in the studio as we begin our new session called the Legislative Sessions. And joining us, I'm very pleased to welcome New York State Senator Jack Martins. Senator Martins, welcome back to Long Island Cares. It is great to see you.
Great to see you, Paul, as always. Mike, great to see you. Wonderful to be back with Long Island Cares.
It's great to see you too, Senator.
The audience likes you being here as well. So, Senator Martins, here we are again, a new legislative session, 3 months into the new legislative year. And we got a state budget that's been proposed by the governor that's going to be negotiated by both the Assembly and the Senate. In terms of your district, in terms of the issues that concern you the most, what are the priorities that you have for this legislative session?
Well, the priorities are always going to be Long Island-centric. We remind ourselves, and we need to remind ourselves, that Long Island isn't a place, it's people. Mm. And so if you keep that in mind, things like, frankly, food insecurity.
Sure.
Things that we don't normally associate with Long Island. The idea that Long Island is an affluent place is pretty common up in Albany. People think that we have all kinds of resources. Right. The reality is we are a very integrated place. We're mm-hmm. a very diverse place. Yeah. Certainly, I don't think we've ever been as diverse as we are today as a community.
Yeah.
Although we do have, obviously, pockets of wealth, we do have pockets of socioeconomic stress here that we have to keep in mind. There are people who are barely getting by. And so I think that is a priority. A priority is making sure that we have resources, making sure that people are okay, that mm-hmm. families have resources, that people have access to a job. Those who are able to work and want to work, that they have the ability to work and that we can facilitate that for them. We also live on an island, Paul, as we know, and,
not easy to get off of.
Well, it's not, but you know what? When we talk about things like the environment, mm-hmm. we're surrounded by water. We have, we have to protect our coastal wetlands. We have to be very careful when it comes to our sole source aquifer, mm-hmm. And making sure that we're protecting our environment. I believe very strongly that we don't inherit the land from our parents. We borrow it from our children.
Oh,
and so when you think about it that way,
put it,
That's our responsibility to make sure that we leave this place better off than we find it and to mm-hmm. help everyone we can along the way. That's why we do it.
You really are one of the unique state legislators that get this issue when we talk about people from upstate looking at the downstate region and in particular Long Island and thinking that it's so affluent. The fact of the matter is we do have, as you said, pockets of affluence. Everyone knows where they are, from the Hamptons to the Gold Coast up north. But most Long Islanders are really living paycheck to paycheck. And they work hard. They're holding down 2-3 jobs. They have children to take care of. Some of them have elderly parents they're taking care of. They're trying to hold on to their homes. They're trying to maintain good health. And every year it seems to get more difficult to accomplish that. And I don't have to tell you about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and what that did to people. And the fact that we got out of it is, decent as we did, is a miracle. But now again, there are challenges. Mike, I think you had the next question.
Yeah. As you go through your district, what are the issues that are really on the minds of your constituents? What keeps coming up?
Well, it comes down to, I think, generically, people feel disconnected at this point. There's a lot of anxiety today. Mm. We live in a polarized world.
Yes, we do.
Politically and otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest hurdle, I think, for us, certainly on the political end, where you try and bridge to people on all spectrums.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, when you get right down to it, we all want the same thing. We mm-hmm. want... we want to be able to raise our families in a safe environment. We want to be able to hopefully have success for ourselves and our kids. And mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we help our neighbors. And if you ask a Republican or a Democrat, you ask a liberal or a conservative, that's all we want.
Absolutely.
Yet we should find ways of being able to work together. That translates into us finding ways, unfortunately, whether it's because of the way that the media portrays things, whether it's because of our own insufficiencies, we find ways to find division where we should be finding opportunities to come together. That really, to me, I think is what stands out.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is it about it is that many have said we do have more in common than we do have differences. We're all looking for the same thing. And, you know, I get concerned when there is such division in the nation. I don't think it's that much division in New York State. I could be wrong. But, you know, people are watching us. People have watched the United States for, you know, more than 200 years to emulate what we have been able to accomplish as a society and as a nation. And, you know, it's sad. You have to be concerned that, you know, what are we doing to ourselves? No one is doing this to us. We're all making choices to behave in a certain way. You know, you mentioned bipartisanship, and I've always complimented our Long Island legislative delegation, whether it's on a local level or a state level or a federal level, that they don't let partisan politics get in the way of serving the people of Long Island. You know, if you look at, you know, when the Senate was in control in Albany, things got done. When it was reversed, things still got done. They may not have been done to, you know, to everyone's liking, but we move along, we move forward. And people don't understand that. And in you bringing up the issue of food insecurity, that is clearly an issue where there should be and there is no partisanship. Everybody understands the need for people to be fed.
I couldn't agree more, Paul. You know, we have a budget that's being proposed right now that is, you know, topping $230 billion. The governor has proposed a budget that is $7 billion larger or higher or more costlier spending than last year. Our Senate One House actually goes further and is $16 billion more than last year. You know, frankly, I think that that's too much. But in the context of that additional spending, how much is there for to address food insecurity? How much is there to address the needs? How much is there to actually provide conduits for farm to table, farm to community? And as we've all said, we're not going to food bank our way out of, you know, food insecurity and out of poverty. But what we can is provide dignity and resources so that people have it readily available. You know, I remember, you know, during the last significant, or I guess the Great Recession, I remember watching family members in my own community back in Mineola visiting a church. To pick up food. And the person had just lost her job. They were looking for help. They were going to find a job, but they needed that little bit of help to get them over that hump, over that period where they actually just wanted to make sure that their family was going to be okay. That's what it's about. It's not a handout. It's actually putting resources in place that allow people to actually get through the day, the week, or that period of time where they're going to have a little insecurity and then get back up on their feet. Yeah. That's what society does.
You're absolutely right. One of the things that Michael and I have been heavily involved in, and I think you know this, in relation to the proposed budget by Governor Hochul, is that she has taken $22 million out of the Hunger Prevention and Nutrition Assistance Program. That's a program, the main program in New York State, that feeds the hungry and people with food insecurity. During the COVID pandemic, New York, like many other states, saw a tremendous infusion of federal dollars to address the issue of food insecurity. And, you know, the governor at the time, Governor Cuomo, launched the Nourish New York program, launched the Restaurant Resiliency program, helped a lot of Long Island businesses, especially those in the food service industry. And so to, you know, coming out of COVID, when the need is still up due to inflation and the cost of goods, $22 million doesn't sound like a lot of money to the average person looking at, well, How many people are hungry in New York State? Well, it's about 4.5 million. And on Long Island, there's 230,000. On top of that, there's a proposal to reduce funding for the free and reduced school meals program. When most of our schools, regardless of what community they're in, have children receiving free and reduced meals. You know, it doesn't make a difference whether you're in the Mineola School District or you're in the Mattituck School District or you're in the Brentwood School District. I know that more than half the schools have high concentrations of children in need. And, you know, Mike has been out there advocating and, you know, this is just, it's not the right time, if you ask me.
Well, Paul, I agree. The good news is I think there is strong bipartisan support to support a program where we are providing free lunches, free breakfasts for children in all schools. The price tag for it has been pegged at around $200 million a year. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we're already spending it.
Right.
We're spending it. So the rather than differentiating these 20 kids get a free lunch, these 20 kids don't, give it to the 40 kids. We're already, the programs are already in place.
Right.
And so the incremental additional cost is rather insignificant. And the gain we're going to have by making sure that the kids are getting a nutritious meal at school, for some of them, the only hot meal they're going to have during the day, makes all the sense in the world. But to your point, you know, how do you cut $20 million from a program that its only essential purpose is to feed hungry?
Yeah.
If you think about it that way, I already said the budget is $237 billion.
Billion with a B, as you said.
You know, 1% of that is $2 billion, right? $2.3 billion. Yeah. The decimal points and zeros that are necessary to get down to $20 million in the context of a budget that large, it is so small contextually that shouldn't be where we're balancing the budget. That is, it's the wrong policy. I think you'll see that the legislature will step in to restore that funding, but it's more than just putting the money behind it. It's putting the money, the resources. You mentioned Nourish New York, the opportunity in the program that actually ties farmers to need.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, it's important. It's overdue. We should be investing more, not less. And I do think there are opportunities. I see synergies between our schools and farmers being able to provide fresh produce for our schools. I see synergies between the ability of a budget like the New York State budget to be able to actually promote this. You know, thank God for Long Island Cares. Honestly, because if it wasn't for Long Island Cares, who would be taking up this fight?
No, that's
our individual true. Our individual places of worship, perhaps, here and there. But there is a need for an organization that is going to take a region on its back and actually make a difference. So kudos to Long Island Cares.
We are trying our best. Mike?
First, we actually convened an emergency conversation about what the loss of that HPNOC funding would mean for us and food banks across the state. And your chief of staff was in attendance, and he was extremely supportive. And I want to thank you and thank him for that. And, you know, $22 million for HPNOC, if it goes away, what that would mean for Long Island Cares is 40% less food that we're able to purchase with that state contract. And also, that's $500,000 that's going to our member agencies for them to buy refrigeration, freezers, racking. So that's, you know, when food inflation is still at around 11%, and that's on average. That's not talking about the lean proteins and the fresh produce, which is even more. That's 18%, 19% perhaps. You know, it's not the right time. Long Islanders are still struggling. And while we're maybe on the beginning of the other side of the pandemic and the recession and inflation, we're not where we need to be yet. People are still struggling.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. Let's say we overfunded. Let's say we actually went ahead and overfunded. What would be wrong with that? If we actually had more resources for people that are in need and are hungry, what if we were actually able to overhelp people if there's such a thing? How wonderful would that be? Why do we always have to actually go to those who are most vulnerable and ask them to shoulder the weight of actually balancing a budget? When we talk about, you mentioned 40% of the budget here, you know, let's put that into context. That's 1 million meals a year.
Yeah.
That's a million meals a year. That's a million people who are not going to be able to have a meal that would otherwise have had to have had mm-hmm. one last year. I mean, just to put that into context, and again, going back to the overall state budget mm-hmm. and how much this means, this is not where we should be. And, and I can tell you this, the legislature won't do it.
That was one of the coolest things an elected official said, because when we're talking to Feeding America, when we're talking to the USDA, and we're talking to the State Department of Health, and we're talking about guidelines, it's this is the minimum required to feed a family of whatever size for however many days. And what you're talking about is, you know, what do they need? What do they want? You know, what are we talking about here? How is it possible to overfund a program when it means that the veterans, the children, the seniors that we're serving, maybe instead of getting one bag or one care package, maybe get two or three right. with more of the foods that they want and seek. And maybe that's the mm-hmm. maybe that's the way the whole paradigm should shift
yeah.
to what can we do better? What can we do more? How can we be more responsive? Can you really give a hungry person too much food?
You know, I also think, Senator, what you're saying is so true, because we just saw this during COVID. Every township on Long Island, all the municipalities got additional federal dollars through the Rescue Plan or through the CARES Act. With that money, we were able to go into a relationship with the town of Hempstead, thanks to Supervisor Don Clavin, who immediately, when he found out that there was federal dollars coming to the town of Hempstead, largest township in the country, knew that food insecurity would be a priority, immediately reached out to us to say, what can we do? If we didn't have that money, number one, we never could have opened 25 temporary food distribution centers in the town of Hempstead. We never would have been able to go into Valley Stream and work with the community there, which now has led to your colleague, Assemblywoman Szilágyi, getting us a legislative grant to open up our ninth location permanently in Valley Stream. So we know what the additional money means. We knew that Nourish New York not only was going to take care of farmers upstate, but take care of the farmers we have on Long Island. In meeting with the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets, once they mentioned the Nourish New York program, Michael and I proposed that we be given permission to use a portion of our money that they were giving us to support Long Island fishermen, that the fishing industry was really having trouble during COVID because the restaurants were closed and they had nowhere to, you know, put their product. And we got the approval. And we pumped about $250,000 into the fishing industry here on Long Island, retained some of the money for our East End farmers because their growing season is different, and we were able to help them as well. And let alone what we did with restaurant resiliency in keeping about 35 restaurants above water. But, you know, the bipartisanship that exists in Albany when it comes to food insecurity, people on Long Island really need to take a breath and be very proud of what our elected officials in Albany are accomplishing, because you've got your finger on the pulse and you understand the issue. And as I said, it's not a partisan issue. It's an issue of doing, as you said, it's an issue of doing the right thing.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we have, first of all, there is bipartisan support mm-hmm. for this effort. But as, you know, Supervisor Clavin demonstrated, I mean, first of all, doing a great job in Hempstead,
yeah, sure.
has his priorities in the right place. But when he got that federal money, what mm-hmm. did he do? He called Long Island Cares.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knew that he didn't have the structure mm-hmm. in the town to be able to effectively yeah. deal with this issue.
Yep.
Towns, municipalities aren't wired to do mm-hmm. this kind of work. And so the ability to go to a place like Long Island Cares mm-hmm. and say, yeah, we have the resources. We'll get the funding from the state, or we have a grant that came in from the federal government.
Sure.
But we yeah. need somebody who's going to actually be able to take that, tie into their network, mm-hmm. and get the food to people's yep. tables. That's you. And so, you know, we do our part, you know, building awareness, raising awareness over it, reaching consensus on mm-hmm. funding it. But at the end of the day, unless you have that piece at the local level
mm-hmm.
where the rubber sure. hits the road, that's yep. able to actually distribute the food to people,
yep.
It's all for naught. So, I mean, we're very grateful to Long Island Cares, to the organization, to its founder, and to its founding principles, because that's what it's about. We'll get you the resources, and we should do more, and we're committed to trying to do more. But at the same time, it's all about getting the food into people's hands so that they can actually eat.
I have great confidence that we will come out of this budget negotiation okay, because of our elected officials like you who are out there championing this cause, because you know how many people it impacts. Oh, well, that has nothing to do with you, Senator Martins. I promise you, it just means that we are out of time. It has been a true pleasure, number one, to welcome you back to the New York State Senate.
Thank you.
To welcome you back to Long Island Cares. We look forward, as we've done in the past, to having such a meaningful partnership with you and your staff on the issues of importance within your district. And it's been a pleasure. I hope you'll definitely come back in the future so we can talk again. It's really been great to see you.
Would love to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
And for those of you that have enjoyed the Breaking Bread podcast, whether you listen on Apple Podcast or Spotify or Anchor or anywhere else, subscribe to the program and listen to us as we bring up new episodes. And I want to thank Mike Haynes for being with me today. Again, I want to thank New York State Senator Jack Martins for joining us. And stay safe, stay well, and take care of each other.